Spirit Radio.
Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, depending on your position on this little blue planet spinning in space and time, wobbling time, if we see what's going on. Today, well, I think I'll start with this, and now for something completely different.
Hello, and welcome to the wonderful world of sound! Yes, the sound of a common household ant magnified 300,000 times. And now, the sound of a tiny cockroach sneezing magnified 60 million times. See how it frightened the ant? Ow! Got my finger in the drawer there. Even the sound of a tsetse fly picking its nose magnified only 75,000 times frightens the ant. And the tiny woodlouse as well! Ow! The chair! Ow! Jesus Christ!
Shut up!
Sorry! Well, now listen to this. The sound of an African anteater rubbing Vic on its chest. Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting? And...
Shut up!
Sorry! But can a black ant get hold of Vic Vapor Rub? Well, no! But it can ask a friend to get some! Listen to this. Magnified 92,000 times, the sound of the vicious Afghan panther lizard visiting the chemist! Isn't nature wonderful? Hey, yeah, 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 yeah! And now a herd of zebras visiting the same chemist to ask for something for the weekend! And finally, oh God, finally some eye drops being bought in the chemist just down the street by a Bengal tiger! Christ! Hey, he's fighting the ant and the zebras! They trampled the woodlouse! Oh, Christ, the chair! Ah! Oh, God almighty!
Dead, ring Arthur Sojourn of Prestatyn, the fastest funeral service in North Wales. We will get the deceased out of the house and down the chute within the hour. Free wine glasses with every certified stiff. Ring 0402 187 if you're about to snuff it, and our Fiat 850 will be at your door within 10 minutes. Also, Danish and Scandinavian books. See everything.
And now, a massage from the Swedish Prime Minister.
There's Monty Python there with a wonderful world of sound. So this is what tonight's program is about. It's about sound. Now, those of you who may have been listening from early on in the Ever Beyond station and situation, we have been speaking on a few occasions to a wonderful lady called Shari Edwards. We won't have her on the show tonight. I'm going to try and get her back in sometime soon for an update. But her theories and her practice and her work is to do with using sound to recreate whole human beings. You know, basically to heal from the problems, maybe with a tinnitus or something perhaps kind of minor, to something quite major, and also to the level of personality issues and spiritual issues and all sorts of things that can all be treated using sound. If you go back in, if you're on Wolf Spirit Radio, you can tune in and look at the radio archives. It's on the top there, top right. And download any show from any of the hosts that say Shari Edwards. We did a few months ago, we did several interviews with her and got a rather larger picture of just a single interview. So it's quite a lot of listening, but it's absolutely fascinating. So with that basis, we discover that sound is very important, and that more than important, it's more than sound, it's frequency that is important. And those of you who have also been listening to some of my shows on the Seven Rays go to show that that the personality and the soul, the energy of the personality and the energy of the soul, is possibly not possibly, but is quite certainly to do with frequency. In fact, what we can come to the conclusion of is that everything is energy, and all energy vibrates at a frequency, and all frequencies vibrate at specific, let's say, a resting point. We call them harmonics in the science. But these places are points where material may gather, and it's a bit like the rings around the sun, where the planets are in a specific orbit, because that's where it's the path of least resistance for you, for them, and they roll around almost in a groove, and these grooves are made by the gravitational magnetic force of the sun, creating these places where there's more or less intense magnetism or gravity, or depending on whatever you're looking at things, but there are rings around it, and that's those are what we call harmonic rings, and they were, I think it was Joseph Kepler, discovered this and said, well, hang on a second, that's very interesting. But I've done all the calculations, and from what I can see, there should be a planet between Mars and Jupiter. And that's all that is there is, in fact, a bunch of rocks. They call that the asteroid belt. But it's my firm belief, and it's probably going to be scientifically proven soon, or it's going to come out of the disclosure, that there was a planet there once. And that planet was destroyed, and there's various reasons that it was said it was destroyed. Some people say that it was a planet hit it. Some people say it was destroyed by in a war. It's a long story, and I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of that. However, that's not the point of what I'm talking about tonight. What I'm talking about tonight is what is known as the 432 conspiracy. Now, what am I talking about? What does 432 signify? Well, anybody who's a musician has, at one time or other, come across tuning. And you can have a tuning fork, which is a piece of metal that's drilled down, cut down the middle. And so the two pieces are like a two-pronged fork, and you can just tap that against your trousered knee. It will start it vibrating, and this is what's known as a musical standard. It never changes pitch. It will always vibrate at the specific frequency, because it's the length of the little arms on the forks that determine the frequency, and that stays fixed. So you hit this thing, and it goes, ooh, and you put it on a piece of table, and it goes, ooh, and the musician is able to tune the instrument from that fork. I'm just going to demonstrate it here. I have a guitar that I prepared earlier. And when you have a tuning fork, you get a note like this. And you tune your guitar like this. Yeah. Now, it seems pretty in tune with that. Here's the thing. This note here is, as we call it, 440 cycles a second. And that is what is known as concert pitch. I'll just take the guitar and try not to knock my headphones everywhere. The concert pitch is the frequency that everybody agrees on is the frequency of the note of A, and that's the note that I just played you on my little guitar here. Now, I'm just looking around. I don't have any form of tuner. So I might have to go and get that in the second hour. But basically, that is the frequency of every piece of music that you hear nowadays. It's called tuned to concert standard, concert pitch, or 440 standard, and everybody just assumes that that's what it is. It hasn't always been that way. It turns out, from studying my history, that in the 1930s, a certain Mr. Goebbels, in a certain National Socialist Party in Germany, persuaded his orchestras to tune their instruments to a particular frequency. And this was all part of the Nazi plan to dominate the world. And we look at this and we see that they raise the frequency up only by a tiny bit. You almost wouldn't know the difference. But what it has had the effect of doing is creating a state of slight anxiety. So whenever you listen to music, you'll hear a state of slight anxiety in it. Now, that's fine with pop and rock and roll because it's meant to be, produce a bit of anxiety. It's meant to be exciting. It's meant to kind of give you a stimulus. And in some ways, you know, it's great for, you know, if you want to march off to war, it's great. Yeah, wonderful. World domination plan in any early stages, as you say, and on there. And so here's the thing. It turns out that in 1936, Joseph Goebbels and the German orchestras caused the world to adopt new standards. And I think there was also a two-pronged effort in the part, and that there were certain sympathizers in the United States that also set the standard to 440 at that time. Now, why they did that, I don't know. However, if you look at the effects in the last 60 years since this has happened, we've had nothing but war. Everybody's tense and aggressive, and now they're looking to try and raise the concert pitch to 444 or 448. You know, just absolutely ridiculous. It'll make everybody really, really tense. And so, here is the plan. In order, it's a bit like eating organic food. Is you try to keep to organic music, which is music that is produced using the 432 standard of pitch rather than the 440 standard of pitch. Now, here's the more interesting little things. The frequency that Goebbels tried to introduce was exactly 1.776% higher than the other. Now, there's a number, 1776. If you're into numbers, I said there was going to be some numbers here. If you're into numbers, then 1776 was the foundation year of the Illuminati. So that could be a possible connection there. However, 440 is easier to divide. It's a bit like all this metric, and they could probably get away with saying, oh, it's easier to divide the frequencies and all this stuff. However, it's produced a lot of disquiet, let's put it this way. Now, in the 60s, there were some people who tried to reintroduce something more comfortable, and one of them was Jimi Hendrix, and another one was Bob Marley. Oh, they're both dead. Oh, they both died quite young, didn't they? Oh, well, I wonder if that's anything to do with it. Mind you, it was revolutionary. Hendrix should have been a sound engineer. He would have been producing today. He would have been making amazing film scores and amazing soundscapes with his music as a producer and an engineer with working with other musicians. But he was kind of taken off the path, as a lot of them are, and taken out. So we have music of Jimi Hendrix. Now I'll play a Jimi Hendrix song later just to illustrate that. But what is possible to do is to take most pieces of music, and nowadays most people have got access to a sound editor, and all of these editors have a pitch shift function, and all you need to do is take it down, you need to stretch it by 1.01% or something like that, and then the music will come out. I can give you the particular figures. I can't remember them offhand, but you can turn 440 music into 432 music. And in fact, sometimes you don't even need to do that because it's already been done for you. And so, if you search for your favorite album and put 432 after it into YouTube, you'll probably find that somebody has already reprocessed it and rescaled the music so that it's at the 432 standard. Some people may notice it, some people may not, but I have to say that all the jingles on Wolf Spirit Radio are tuned to the 432. So that's a given, which is the classical music there, I have no idea what the pitch was. I'll have to have a look at all those, but I just pulled them out of my archive at the moment. So, where are we? We're 7:15. So, what I'd like to do is move into the domain of what this frequency is doing to, well, how does it affect humans, and how does it affect our spirit? Now, I'd like to bring in my dear friend, Rebecca Jernigan, and I'm going to make a little break, and then I'm going to call her on the phone, and we're going to talk about some of the implications of this, because I think she may have some insights on this whole situation. But I find it a fascinating thing, and I'm now going to look for, where did I put it? I did have a Jimi Hendrix song set up somewhere over there. Oh, God. No, it's not in there. That's the trouble with talking and running the show at the same time. I need a producer. Anybody know a good producer? There it is. There's the song. So we're now going to have a listen to a song that is played at 432 hertz. It's Bob Marley, and it's Waiting in Vain.
I don't wanna wait.
Bob Marley there with Waiting in Vain. So, wasn't that pleasant? That was a very pleasant sounding, it's very relaxing, and there was no tension in it at all. And I would like to very relaxed and informally introduce my dear friend and guest, Rebecca Jernigan. Hello, Rebecca.
Oh, hello, JP. Fabulous to be here with you, honestly.
How was your first show?
It was wonderful. It really was. It was absolutely fantastic to be back on air again and to enjoy the company of all the people that were listening, and certainly to share the energy of my guest, Nancy Ogren. She was she's quite fabulous. It was really an extraordinarily profound conversation that we were having, and I hope once you get it up into the archives that people that missed it may go back in and listen to it with a different ear, kind of talking a little bit about the same thing here that we're going to be getting into. So
absolutely yeah. So it'll be up in the archives once I've done it. I've got quite a few shows today, so I'll have give it about 24 hours for me to process all of Sunday's shows and get them up. Yes, so 432, Rebecca,
let's first of all let's talk about Bob Marley here for a minute.
All right.
Because that brought us back in.
Yeah.
Now, I think for most people sitting there listening, if they were just listening to the song and didn't have any other distractions going on, they probably would have maybe been swaying to the music or maybe nodding their head or what some people call chair dancing in a gentle way.
Yeah.
The music itself makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. It doesn't pump up the volume. It doesn't necessarily make you want to get up and dance down the middle of the street. It just makes you feel good.
Mm.
So, you know, there was magic in his music.
Yes.
You know, there's magic in his music, and that goes to the whole frequency thing that you were talking about.
Exactly.
So I want people to sit back and think about some of the different songs that they've heard through the years, whether it be rap or whether it be techno or rock and roll or heavy metal or blues or jazz or country, whatever. And think about the songs in each of those genres that they liked, and then think about the songs in those same genre, pick a genre, whatever it is, and think about some of the songs that they didn't like, not because of the lyrics, but because of the music. The music set them on edge. Like the noise that your fingernails make on a chalkboard. Some people, it doesn't bother them. Other people come crawling out of their skin. You know, it becomes something that reverberates, if you will, within the mind that explodes into the body that makes them just, you know, cringe and run from the room. Because it's all about sound, and sound breaks down into frequency.
That's right.
And there are many of those songs out there. There's certain notes in rock and roll music. There's certain songs that I was never able to listen to because they struck chords. Yes, that was like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. It actually made my ears hurt.
Yeah.
Not because of the volume of it, but because of the frequency it was hitting.
Hmm.
So you have to ask yourself, how do you feel when you listen to certain kind of music? Does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel relaxed? Or is it just agitating you? Is it making you want to get up? And you'll see a lot of musicians that get up on stage and they will break their guitars or they'll throw their mics. The music that they're playing sets off a physical reaction within the body that kind of overrides the mind, if you will. It's not just all for showmanship. It's about catching that wave, if you will, riding that wave of energy. And then it becomes something that is naturally occurring to them. And they are okay with that. And then it creates like this frenzy, if you will, in the audience.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
And I call that the feeding frenzy.
Yeah.
Now, it can happen with any kind of a group setting that you have like that, you know, riots, it only takes one person to be in that highly agitated state. So what happened to that person before they got there? Was it just all the excessive energies, which is the frequencies that people naturally carry around with them, that set this one person on edge, and he or she became an instigator of a feeding frenzy? It's not always a conscious thing, but it can create this negatively charged atmosphere to where all of a sudden everyone becomes violent because they're riding that wave.
Yeah.
And it's when we look at certain musics, especially music, we look at this music, was a lot of it is kind of been presented to us, JP, it really as a way to unhinge people. I hate to say this is an Illuminati thing, because it isn't. It's I call it the mad scientist syndrome. I have a syndrome for everything, by the way. and it creates this whole environment then for, the rock stars to show acts of violence, or the heavy metal people to show acts of violence, or rap music and their messages, the kind of underlying frequency behind it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It triggers within us, because we are all connected to energy, because that's what we are. We're just kind of manifested in a physical form. So it differentiates. We carry certain frequencies within us. Everything that we have is a little different frequency from another individual. I call it an energy signature, because I kind of visualize everything. I see things, as opposed to I don't have quite the ear like you do as a musician would. So it's really been fascinating as you watch. I used to do experiments when I was teaching meditation classes, and I would have a group of people in front of me, and I would play different types of music. I would have four or five different CDs, and I would put them in. And, you know, they were all supposed to be for relaxation, right, to get people into a space. And so I would play these four or five CDs for every one of my beginning classes, and I would physically be able to feel what kind of effect it was having on everyone, whether that be a positive or a negative effect. And I could get the right piece of music based on how these people were reacting as a group to a specific CD. It was fascinating.
Have you got any examples?
No two groups, by the way, were the same.
Oh, really? So each group had its own theme?
Yes. Because when we come together, we create yet another frequency. That's what the collective consciousness is.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
So I just been looking through my Jimi Hendrix collection, and I couldn't find Little Wing, but I found Angel, which is just as good.
Yeah. So, you know, when some people, like, I'm also a Reiki master teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 90s, I used to teach classes here in locally in Kansas City. And I would have people come in, and I would play music in the background while doing the attunements on people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was really fascinating is I had one lady who could not listen to one of the CDs that I had. It was a nature sounds is what it was. When I mean that, I don't mean like crickets chirping and
all
frogs.
Right. I was thinking.
No. It was like a real gentle waterfall sound in the background, with a real, real low level flute playing behind that. Right. Mm. So it was this wonderful sound of water running over rocks, but not violently, real soft and gentle. So anyway, I'm in there doing this attunement, and all of a sudden she starts giggling. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a really weird response. So I I stopped for a minute, and I kind of let her compose herself. And so I attempted this three times, and on the third time, I finally had to interrupt it, and I said, okay, so what are you experiencing here? And she said that she couldn't listen to the music because the music triggered in her a vision that all she kept thinking about was her cat playing in the water. So you see, frequencies will react differently to different people. So I had to change my music for her. I had to get another CD out and put on a different background music for her because she couldn't listen to it, because she just giggled the whole time because that's what it triggered in her. So frequencies, not we can't see them, but we can experience them. We can feel them. We can react to them. And we do on a daily basis, no matter where it's coming from. If I'm in a room where there's a lot of people talking, you have all those different inflections and different tones and different levels of people's voices, and it can get very irritating because I can hear each individual one, and they don't harmonize.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know about that, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm quite sensitive to sound and stuff like that.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, that's why some people will listen to certain people's radio shows and then they won't listen to others. It's because the sound of their voice is annoying to them.
Yeah.
Even though they may not have what most people would deem an annoying voice, there's something in the frequency that rubs that person literally the wrong way.
Absolutely. I mean, this goes back to what Shari's been saying and what she's learned in her 30 years of research is... that when you have, for instance, a teenager, and your parents, you know, as parents, you pour all this energy into, which is your own frequency. You're pouring your frequency into the child. And so there comes a point when the child has topped up, as it were, like the charge complete, like your mobile phone. And that's the point where we force them to then keep living with us. And that's why she says that teenagers have this kind of sense of wanting to break away from the family, and it's perfectly natural, and it's part of what we need to grow up. So if you're having arguments with your teenagers, the very simplest and the best solution, it's what the conversation that you're having with them is, they want to leave. So don't try and make them stay. For your own sake, let them go, because everybody would be happier all around. So that's an interesting application of sound and frequency. Yeah.
Well, and think about the most, not all, but many. Let's put it that way. We'll put it many teenagers get to be, try to get pretty independent, and they get pretty angry. And they get angry every time the mom speaks or the dad speaks, depending on which parent is affecting them the most.
Yes.
In a negative manner. It's because of the tone of their voice. They have somehow programmed themselves that the tone of that mother's or father's voice is an irritant to them.
Yeah.
It is a holding them back. They see it as a negative force because they're trying to find their own sense of frequency at that point.
That's right.
That's what they're trying to do, and they can't do that when the mom or the dad or both of them or whomever, maybe it's a sibling, that's annoying them to the point of where they get so frustrated. And being teenagers, they don't always have the tools to express themselves in an appropriate manner, and they usually end up lashing out.
Why are you? Why are you?
yeah, I hate you. I hate you. Yeah, yeah. I wish that was the nicest thing I'd ever heard. I raised three boys.
Oh, so. Gosh, yes.
Yeah, that was too much fun.
You must have taken some of that on, yeah.
Yeah, truly, truly. So frequencies, harmonics, music music can be so good for the soul, especially if one has had a very trying day. Or it's like listening. There's certain songs that people may listen to that will elicit an emotional response. Maybe they start crying. They think about a lost love, or a broken relationship or something in their life that creates a sadness within them. And, you know, they cry when they hear this particular song or piece of music. I don't look at that as a negative myself. I look at that as a release mechanism. It's good to let go of whatever that pent up or bottled up lack of expression is, because maybe we don't have the opportunity to speak with that individual or to the situation that created, you know, the sorrow or the sadness for us. But we certainly can release holding on to the emotion of it. So, and there's times when we listen to other music where we have a memory of something that was extraordinarily happy for us. And it makes us very buoyant, or it could make us very peaceful, depending on what that memory is and what it's attached to. Music has a way of, and you'll see this in a lot of movies even, where they'll show the you know, the two people getting together and dancing with a certain song, and that becomes their song. And it's still, it's kind of like a tradition, if you will. Even today, when people get married, they have a favorite song that they want to play either at the wedding or at the reception or what have you. So it's very important. Music is very important.
Yeah, and playing in a band, we're often asked to play songs like that, and sometimes they're just not appropriate at all. But
it means
it just
something
doesn't
to
fit. But it does mean something to them. That's right.
So let's talk about the change of frequency for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, when we have a change in frequencies, again, it will elicit a response from the body or from the mind or however a person experiences that, right? And we certainly can tweak the frequencies to create kind of a mesmerizing effect as well on people, a hypnotic thing that is not always positive, depending on what the suggestion is that comes in behind it. Another thing for people to pay attention to, and you're talking about them wanting to change it from 432 to what was that again?
To 440. Well, not wanting to, but that's what they did. That's what happened in 1936.
Ah.
So all over the world, we've been in this kind of slightly agitated state. From the music that we've been listening to, from certain artists, and we're exemplifying those. Actually, what I'd like to do, I'm feeling this is about time. Yes, 22. I'm going to play a Jimi Hendrix track now. And it was recorded by my friend off his vinyl. This is the only version I've got. So it's going to have classic vinyl cracklings on it. So
fabulous.
Let's wind back the old, wind up the dance set and put on this crackly old record. This is Jimi Hendrix with Angel.
About the sweet love between the moon and the deep blue sea. And then she spread her wings high over me. She said she's going home, come back tomorrow. And I said, tomorrow I'm gonna be to me. Silver wings silhouette against a child's sunrise. And my angel, she said unto me, today is the day for you to rise. Take my hand, you're gonna be my man, you're gonna rise. And then she took me high over yonder.
Jimi Hendrix with Angel, and here is my own personal angel, Rebecca Jernigan. Hello, Rebecca.
That's so sweet. Oh, my gosh. I can't ever remember anyone ever calling me that.
Oh, sweetheart.
That's so sweet of you. Thank you, JP.
So,
Julia mumbled by that.
So, yeah, we'll get to the Bob Marley song with Everything's Gonna Be Alright. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We're also going to be bringing in Dale Benadrum, who's going to join us in the second hour, and we're going to have a good old chat. So, meanwhile, frequencies, sound, mystery, Rebecca.
Yes. Well, I'd like to get into talking on air about what you and I were talking about when we were listening to the song here just a minute ago, which is back in 1937 or whenever, I think that's when you said they changed it from 432 to 440, or they presented it, I guess, as a way of putting it. So if we take a look back at how music was and what happened in the 1940s, that was just before the war, the 40s, the music changed. It became, you know, the jive and all of those.
And the big bands.
All the big bands. And it was a very high energy, comparatively so, from what it had been previously.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a huge change in all of the cultures worldwide because of this introduction of new music, but especially here in the United States. You found the values, if you will, started to change in this country. Not that they were good or bad before. This is not what this is about. Mm-hmm. It's simply just recognizing the trends that music has brought. That's all this is. So I want to be real clear with everyone. Because personally, myself, I like the music. I like the music of the 40s. And then we brought into the 50s, and then, you know, we had the King, you know, and he brought in a whole another level. I call that just the pre-rock and roll days. And then, you know, the Beatles, big thing on sight, you know, they blew in on the scene and, you know, brought in some heavier rock and roll. And then we had the heavy metal groups, you know, that came in, and it's just, you know, it just keeps going, right? I mean,
just built up.
Yeah. And we have a lot of agitated people out there, and they don't realize that that they don't realize that the frequencies of the music is what's setting them off. They think that you know, they like this type of music, whatever this type of music may be.
Mm.
And again, I'm not sticking one thing as being worse or better than another. I'm just saying, in our current times, you know, what kind of music are you listening to? What does it elicit? And when we get really used to a certain frequency type of music, you know, in that kind of category, it you know, it kind of melds with us. We allow it in, and it becomes like an addiction. And you know, you'll see people driving down the road, and they get out of, they have a iPod in their ear, and they get out of their car, and they still got music plugged in, and then they go into their house, and they still have music plugged in, and it's usually all the same kinds of music. I mean, you'll get people that really are truly addicted to it, because the frequency, just like food, we can become addicted to certain foods because it carries something in the body that is like an addiction for us. That's what a food addiction is. It still breaks down into energy. And music is the same way. Same thing with TV. TVs carry a whole range of frequencies, but it is that range of frequencies that one would get used to, and they become addicted to it. Like somebody that can't go without watching their special show. I mean, their whole world stops so that they can go watch this special show. It really does come right down into a frequency, and most people don't recognize the simplicity of it. And it is very simple. We humans have a tendency to overcomplicate things. And, you know, the Elohim, my group, my collective group of guides, have spoken to me a great deal on this whole what frequencies can and cannot do for an individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can line up six different individuals, and they will all vibrate positively at maybe slightly different frequencies, which means that's the, you know, and I know, JP, you've listened to my show for years. I use the aspirin analogy. You can give those six people each an aspirin. It is going to be different for all six people what that aspirin does for them or to them.
Yeah.
Because each person has a very, very specific, very intricate makeup that responds differently to everything. It may be so slight that it's not perceptible to others or even from yourself to another individual, but it's still there. There's no two individuals alike on this world. Just like there's no two in, that means that there's no two individual sets of frequencies that are going to vibrate exactly the same.
Yes.
So somebody may listen to Bob Marley and become so agitated, and they may just think it's the worst thing they ever heard, and they can't listen to it. Whereas a greater group of people may listen to Bob Marley and just absolutely love him because they carry frequencies that are close enough to each other that they become harmonious as opposed to disharmonious.
Yes.
That's why that old, remember back in the 70s and 60s, man, you're standing in my space. And it was meant, you know, get out of my space. It was meant as a negative. In other words, their energy signature was being introduced to the disruptive other person's energy, the aura, and it created a friction as opposed to harmony.
Yes, a disruption.
Yes, it becomes a negative and not a positive experience.
And we can look at that in terms of musical notes, that there are certain discordant what are called intervals, which is the distance between two notes. Some are discordant and some are harmonious. And that's what the scales do. That's what why we play music in scales, because they're all harmonic with each other.
Yes, absolutely. And the same thing with people. It's just like, you know, I getting back to that scenario that I put forward, you can step into a room of people and some people will be okay with it, but other people won't be.
Yes.
And that may be that the greater number of people there carry a frequency that might bother some other person, but the other person may, you know, it may be closer to their frequency, so it becomes harmonious to them. So that's what's getting down into the subtleties. That's really defining how an individual vibrates. And I thought that this was so important, and certainly through this year of 2011, the Elohim in have really spoken to me on this harmonious, disharmonious environments, and to the point where I've put together some classes in order to help guide people through this.
That's great. Do you want to talk about some of those classes?
Well, I certainly can. If you'll give me a second, and I'll pull them up so I can talk intelligently about them, because it's like I've slept since then, right? Kind of a thing.
Mm.
And I have to make sure I have written stuff in front of me. I'm a very visual person, as you well know. The one thing that I really want to define here is if anybody goes to my website, and this one is the RebeccaJernigan.com website, my first class out is Past Life Imagery, and it's all based on visualizations, and it's based on understanding what it is that you're looking at and being able to articulate it within, even in your own self. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, out loud. So that one is kind of a standalone kind of a class. It does help us to figure out where we've been and where we're going. But the two important ones coming up first, and these will be the ones that are starting next month, is the one that's called Stepping Into Awareness. And awareness is about recognizing the subtleties. And this is where we get into the subtleties. And it's the beginning aspects of teaching people how to read signatures. And when I say read signatures, I'm not teaching people how to become psychic. What I am teaching them is how to decipher how do they actually are able to ascertain whether something is good or not good for them as the individual. What sets them off? What is it that they're noticing? And these are things that, because we've been so bombarded with noise frequencies, right? Regardless of what levels. I mean, if we're talking about EMF, those are frequencies. If we're talking about CMEs, those are frequencies. If we're talking about the radio waves, those are frequencies. You know, even the winds, right? They carry a frequency. Everything carries a frequency. And then we start putting all this man-made stuff on top of it. I mean, you've got frequencies coming out of the light bulbs, out of your computers, out of your TV set, out of your house, out of the ground. It's everywhere because it's all energy. And so in stepping into awareness is really going to be defined for the individual. Even though I'm teaching it as a small class, each person will be kind of guided into their own recognition of how do they decipher what they're sensing around them. And most people don't even realize that they are sensing things and they're processing things, but they're not aware that they're doing that. They're making decisions, they're making choices based on things that they're not even aware of. And that's what this first one is about. And it gets into better things, or more profound and deeper classes coming up in next year. The next one that I'll also be beginning in November is Integrating Intuition with Logic and Reason. This is that whole left brain, right brain function. Now, what does that have to do with frequencies? Well, actually, it has a lot to do with it, because our mind will try to talk us out of what we're sensing or feeling within us. That's the right brain, left brain kind of battle that goes on. You can really marry intuition with logic, and you can actually get it to where it works together, and you can use both simultaneously, so you know you're making the best choices and decisions. And that will always be a benefit to you no matter where you apply that. And it's also going to help people as they're ascertaining their own particular situation. You know, this world is the rules have changed, and actually at this point, JP, I don't think there are rules. I think all of that has just all switched and changed as our energies, the frequencies of our universe, the physical universe that affects us and all those other dimensions that we can. I think it's just going to be both of them are very powerful classes.
It seems that the rules are changing to our benefit just now, so it's a really positive time for me.
Yes. Because we're learning how to we're learning how to navigate. I mean, there's been so many tools that's been given to people over the past, especially the past few years, on how to traverse all of these energetic changes, all of this happenings and events, and how to wade through the muck and the mire to get to what resonates is truth. You know, when we talk about resonance, that's a person's personal energy signature. It's what resonates with you.
Mm.
And understanding as the individual grows, their resonance will also change.
That's great. So, Rebecca, we're going to take a break in just over a minute's time. And after that, we have a question for you from the chat room. So we'll address that question after the break. We're going to play No Woman, No Cry, which is the song with the Everything's Gonna Be All Right chorus. So you can all chair dance or dance around your living room if nobody's watching. Even if people are watching, just dance around the living room. Try and be bold. This is what it's all about. It's about going through the fear and doing it anyway. So we're going to be back with not only Rebecca, but we'll also be joining with Dale Benadrum. And he should have something very interesting to say about the shamanistic effects of music and what it's like. He's also a contactee with Hollow Earth people and interesting stuff. So we'll talk about that then. If anybody didn't catch our interview with the Hollow Earth ambassador, Billy Faye Woodard, do connect with Radio Archives in the top right-hand corner of All Spirit Radio, and look through the Project Information Generation 2 with Dave Corso, and it'll be down at near the bottom of that list, probably at the bottom. That's the last one he did. So until that time, let's have a little break. So we'll be back in a few minutes' time. Go and stretch your legs and have a good dance around to Bob Marley and the Wailers live.
Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, and welcome back to Ever Beyond. I'm speaking frequency. We're talking numbers. We're talking vibes. We're talking pitch, tempo, frequency. And we're talking with Rebecca Jernigan.
Hello.
Hello, there you are.
This is very nice to be here. Let me tell you, the energy is quite soothing. The songs that you're playing are quite soothing. Wow, just beautiful. Really is beautiful.
That's right. Because, now here's the thing. If you're in a state of slight agitation, you can't easily be in touch with your soul.
Right.
And this is what all of our shows are about. Because the ascension of the human being is the integration of the soul into the personality. That we'll become the angel that we are. So
agreed.
So, do the Elohim have stuff to say about that process, and how music can work with that, Rebecca?
Well, let's go back to the lady I was telling you about when I was doing attunements, and she started giggling at the music that was playing in the background, the sounds that were playing in the background. Very strange that I used to play this particular CD for everyone, and I've taught hundreds, if not thousands, of people. I've attuned them to the Reiki. Probably more like thousands of people, and she was the only one that reacted that way. So when we're looking at that, when we're looking at an individual that reacts so differently than everyone else, we realize that what we're doing for her didn't work because she was on a different frequency. So what that meant is that I wasn't the teacher for her because I didn't have the same frequency, or close enough of a frequency, I should say, that was harmonious to her in order for her to get the full experience that she needed to have. And that's what that is. So the Elohim talked to me about meditation and music a lot. And, you know, I get instructions as to, I have a whole cache of different music. Most of it, by the way, is pretty old stuff. Old meditation sounds and music, CDs that I've owned for years that still will soothe me when I'm in an agitated state. And it's very, very important to recognize how you vibrate or how you resonate, you know, what frequency level. And it not necessarily that you have to know exactly what frequencies you specifically carry, although I can't imagine that being a bad thing to learn that. I'm not sure how you could, but I'm sure somebody out there probably knows. But in order to be in touch with one's own unique set of frequencies is really the key to unlocking all of the, shall we say, all the negatives that not only have been fed to us, environmentally so, whether consciously or unconsciously, but it helps us to transmute this earth and its inhabitants, because every time we go out in public, every time we touch somebody, our energy, we're leaving a trace of us somewhere all the time. So what a better way than to learn about yourself and what kind of a frequency and what you are exuding as an energy signature. It becomes such a valuable thing to know how your very presence can affect everything else, just like every other thing's presence affects you. The more one learns about oneself and how you vibrate, what becomes harmonious, what becomes disharmonious, the stronger you become, the better your energy signature is that you leave behind everywhere you go. So it's such an important part of the human experience. I guess you could call this part of the ascension process, if you want to call it, or reascension, or the spiritually growing process. All of this is really almost mandatory if you can find the time to do it, if you make the time to do it. Not find it, but make the time to do it.
I'm sure there's plenty of distractions in our lives to stop us doing it. That, I think that's, again, part of this whole sort of trying to excite us and get us all busy and
yes,
not be able to focus and concentrate on things.
Right. And it's learning to listen to the subtleties. And I will tell you, in truth, that most of the time I don't have any noise on at all. Most of the time, I don't have any noise on whatsoever in my surroundings.
Yeah.
I don't listen to the radio in my car because I don't like it, it. There's nothing in the radio on there that some of the music they play might be good, but then you get into the commercials or you get into all of that. Now it disrupts whatever flow you might have been in. So for me, I've learned to tune it all out and only listen to music that soothes me, that makes me feel good, that brings me back into balance. And it's one of those things that I've had to learn, and the Elohim have shown me how it's so very important to really Make sure that you surround yourself in your personal surroundings in your day-to-day living with as much that makes you feel harmonious as you possibly can.
Great. And I have a question that has come from the chat room. It's come from, oh dear, I can't actually find it. Who said it? But anyway, I think it was Sophie or, anyway. The question is, don't frequencies that are close eventually grow together?
Well, I'm not quite sure how they mean that. I don't know if they mean that by meld together, so they become one frequency. If that's the case, the answer to that question would be no.
Yeah.
Because you're a unique individual. Your DNA won't change just because you hang around somebody and you become harmonious together. However, frequencies can vibrate, and it's like looking at a relationship, and we have all either experienced it or have witnessed it, where you'll see two people that come together in relationship. That relationship flourishes, and you can almost, you know, just dream, wow, I wish I had a relationship that was that powerful and that positive and that whatever, right? Then you look at another couple who's in a relationship, and it's just a constant source of battlement. It's bringing out the worst in them, because energetically their vibrations don't grow together. They don't vibrate at the same rate of speed or the same frequency.
Yeah,
they're constantly butting heads against each other, which creates the tension. And these people don't flourish as individuals. Instead, their whole relationships become combative.
Yeah, because I've got my way of looking, and you've got your way of looking.
Right.
I have my frequency that I'm working from, and you've got your frequency that I'm working from. And this is what happens when you have two frequencies that are close together. I'm going to demonstrate it here. I'm going to play the note of E. Okay, now that's actually two notes that are playing together, and I'm going to make the other note drop away. Now, I don't know if anyone can hear that.
I can't.
You can hear that it wobbles. It wobble, 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 wobble. You listen to this?
Right.
That's called coming into unison, or coming away from unison. But that is two frequencies that one of them moves. And what you'll always find is that the one person, because I'm sure she's talking about personalities here, that the one person who will have the stronger personality will cause the other person to draw towards their frequencies. And so you might find somebody who's like almost a bit like you, but they'll be discordant at the beginning until the other person actually changes their frequency, which I don't think is a particularly good thing. It's very much better to find people who are... I'd say it was better to find somebody who was concordant straight away rather than trying to bring somebody else into tune, because you're interfering with their evolution. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's... Well, let's look at people pleasers. When we look at the outward aspect of an individual, how they operate in this world... You'll find a people pleaser will say to you, JP, I don't like apple pie. And you might say, oh, apple pie is my favorite thing in the world. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, well, you know, I think I could try some apple pie. And then they eat apple pie and they go, oh, I love apple pie.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to please you, because they themselves are tuning themselves to your frequency. Maybe what happened was when they said to you, I don't like apple pie, somehow your vibration or your frequency might have shifted to where, subtle enough to where you were agitated, because you can't imagine anybody really not liking apple pie.
How could anybody not like apple pie?
Right. You see what I'm saying? And you know, your frequency is, maybe your mind doesn't say that, but somewhere maybe you're vibrating that message and then that other person is feeling that because they really are energy sensitive. They're just not consciously aware that they're energy sensitive. So they match your vibration instead of standing on their own going, I don't care, I just don't like apple pie,
yes,
and leave it at that. Instead, the people pleaser, which is the outward expression of what's going on a much, much deeper level, much more subtle level, which is the frequency.
Absolutely. So what?
So
go on.
Go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say. So that's what a person that is a people pleaser, that I believe that that's part of how the subtleties operate, and that's how we can define whether or not somebody is. I mean, we're talking about one little piece of these two people's, existence with each other or relationship with each other. You may never speak with that person again, but maybe this is a person that you have to see every day, every day, every day. Maybe that's the only discordant level that you have, is all about the apple pie.
Mm.
Maybe on other vibrations, other things will be matched more harmoniously. But I want to answer the question specifically. When we're talking about vibrating together, we're not talking about melding, because when you meld something together, then it changes. It doesn't become two, it becomes one. So my frequency and your frequency, we've always gotten along very well with each other.
Yes.
So there's something about our frequencies that match very well. We're very, even though you're an individual and I'm an individual, you may believe one way and I may believe another. It seems to work out okay for you and I. We get along very, very well.
Well, part of it is the fact that we're able to see each other and allow each other to be who they are. I'm not trying to manipulate you into being anything else than you are, and neither you or me. So, and there's a kind of innate recognition of that.
Yes.
And I think that's what we call friends.
I think that's what we do call friends. But, you know, what they say is in order to have friends, you have to know how to be one, which is, let's get to that manipulation point. Mm. Because you made the statement that you didn't think it was very good for somebody to change somebody else's frequency, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm.
Especially when it's done on a conscious level, because manipulators are ones that carry a very, very high fear frequency, by the way.
Yes.
I'm sorry, frequencies. Fear carries more than one frequency. It carries different forms, different frequencies and different forms. Is a person that has to be right, has to be number one.
And are you there still? No, you just disappeared. Don't know what's happened there. Right.
there's some people who aren't conscious of it, believe it or not.
Right.
They really aren't, and you can tell those right off the bat.
I know. I've had very personal experience of people of someone like that.
I think we all have.
Yeah.
And I think some of us even recognize that we have that similar trait within us as well.
Yeah.
And again, learning to know yourself, the soul, the spirit, how you vibrate, learning all about that is so beyond helpful. It's like, and there is no judgment in it. That's what the coolest thing
indeed,
is.
Indeed, there's no, yeah.
No, it's just like, okay, I got to retune my guitar, man. It's out of tune. It's not the way I really want to express myself. And so that's when we get really into the soul work, when we really get into that spirit work, and we begin to change our vibration. We have that power to do that within each and every one of us.
And so with that, we're going to play a track. This is a track that I actually, it was for a theme tune for a show on the station. And so I took the whole song and I converted the whole song. So we're going to have the whole song. And this is a track that was originally at 440 and is now at 432. To see if you, I mean, you probably all heard this track. It's called Uprising by Muse. And see if you feel anything different. And after that, we'll bring Dale in.
Wonderful.
So there you go. That was Muse and Uprising at 432. Now, does it feel the same? I don't know if people know how that feels to them when they're normally listening to the track, but that's how it went at 432. It seemed a little more laid back. It seemed a little more intelligent rather than emotional to me. I don't know how it was for anybody else. We would like to welcome now Dale. Benadrum? Benadrum? How do you pronounce?
Benadrum. Sometimes I get my tongue wrapped around it. It's pronounced Benadrum.
Benadrum. Where is that from?
Well, the name itself is French, and it was pronounced Benadrum many moons ago, mm-hmm. but that goes back about 4, maybe 5 generations. Maybe 6, and we've been in America for quite some time, so we're well established. And the family originally came over with 3 brothers, and when they decided to split and go on their own, they all decided to change the last name by 1 letter. So anyone with the same name with a different spelling is just a lineage of 1 brother, so we're all related.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a unique name.
So we're discussing frequency, and specifically the frequency change that happened in the 1930s between what is known as concert pitch at 440 and at what it was originally at was 432. Are you aware of this difference in frequency there, Dale?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So you'll have heard some of the talk that we had before.
Yes.
It's was also part of the whole kind of Nazi Germany keep the people on their toes, keep them agitated, keep them scared. So they couldn't think for themselves properly, and we had, as I said, artists in the 60s who brought that back out and said, "Look, this is the way music should be." They didn't really say it very much. They didn't speak about it, but that was just the way they did it. They did get bumped off. Well, there you go. Oh. That's what happens, or at least that's what happened in the past. But now there are too many of us. They can't kill us all. They'll have a good damn good try, but all they seem to be doing at the moment is interfering with our Skype. So, God bless you all. So, what's your experience with frequency there, Dale?
Well, I'll tell you, I had an incident that actually happened this morning prior to waking up, and this is the latest and greatest news of my life. I've been on a spiritual track of waking up since the first week in November 2009. And I had my grand epiphany of awareness. Yeah, so I've been on this search of just fine-tuning my spiritual experience in this life to prepare for the next greatest evolution in human history that's upon us now. So I was talking with Thomas and Gerald up out of Canada, a friend of ours. I think you've spoken with Gerald before. And
yeah, Gerald's a native shaman, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And I've been explaining to him some of the things that have been occurring. And so he kind of gave me some instructions of what to do as I'm falling asleep. And I made some efforts of contact with the inner self. And the side effect is I got to hear a little bit of something whispering to me. And I haven't been able to communicate other than to hear, so I'm hoping tonight to dive into it even deeper and see if I can make contact. But the effects that I had prior to waking up is I had this surge of energy that literally emanated throughout my body, and it literally vibrated. I could feel my body vibrating. Now, the sensation I can give to you is, have you ever been electrocuted from household current?
Several times. It's quite a belt.
Okay.
In Britain, we have twice the voltage as well.
Yes, you do. So you know what it feels like.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Take that sensation. Take that sensation that you feel through the body and remove the pain aspect. Try to separate the pain. That sensation that travels through your body and that vibrates, that's what I was feeling. And it was neither pleasant nor disturbing. It just was. It was, think of it like every atom in your body vibrating together.
And being able to feel that.
Oh, yes. And I woke up and I was like, well, I never felt that before. And I don't know, it was a couple hours later, Thomas and I were talking, and I said, oh, by the way, and I explained to him what happened. He goes, oh, so you're getting to hear your vibration. I'm like, what? He goes, it's not just listening with your ears. It's also you're literally listening to yourself in another dimension that is starting to now make the connection. He says, remember what Gerald was sharing with you? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, that's what you did. So I'm making contact with the other aspects and parts of myself in the astral realm, and we're starting to make these connections, and this is one of the side effects. So the vibration is the indication that the truth of the things that we are leading up to, this new human evolutionary jump we're getting ready to make, is actually starting to occur. And if those out there don't feel this yet, it's okay. Don't look. One thing about this spiritual climb and knowledge that I've experienced is what may be one person's gift may be another person's curse. So be happy with what you have right now. And it'll all be revealed to you if you're open to it and in its own time. So once I have, you know, gotten over that ego hurdle of wanting to know everything all at once, and I realize that it's a process, then I became more at ease with myself. So this morning was just another validation that what's happening is happening because I'm open and I'm awake, and I realize that there are things that are indeed happening that I've been told and shared with. This vibration also is, I'm sensing it in colors, and I'm sensing it also in symbologies. I can look at something and know whether it resonates with the dark side or the higher frequency side. And as we all know, the Illuminati has a lot of symbology in it, and they always have, even in statuettes. Oh my God, the Vatican, you can look around and you'll see a lot of symbology there. And this isn't just by chance. This is by design. And so those of us like us, we're waking up and we're seeing this. And we're feeling this. And there is a lot to be said by the clothes that we wear and the energies that they give off.
Absolutely. This is one of the colors is a very strong subject that Stuart Swerdlow is very, very up on. He's one of our new hosts, and he has a show just before this show. And one day I'll interrogate him and ask him all about the colors. Because being colorblind, I've mainly stepped away from colors because I can't ever describe colors right to people. I say, look up on your screen, you see a little red dot. I say, I can't see anything red. I can see a green thing over there. It must be that one then, you know. That's the way I am with colours, but I'm great with sounds. But there is absolutely a correspondence, and the Seven Rays is all about that, because in the Seven Rays we connect sound and light, geometric form, personality type, soul type, body type, quality. All of those have a direct correspondence with each other, and of course the chakras. There's seven of everything, you know. So, Rebecca, do you have a response to what Dale was talking about?
Electricity
thing, you know, all that. and also, a man in the chat room has had similar voltage pre-awakened state twice this week.
Well, and that doesn't surprise me, based on the energies that have... that are coming in from all around us, as well as the ones that we don't actually know about, you know, that aren't advertised, so to speak. You know, we can talk about EMFs and we can talk about CMEs and we can talk about this and that and, you know, weather patterns and stuff, but there's also a lot of other things that we've yet to discover. But I'd like to talk to the topic that Dale brought up, which is, have anybody been electrocuted? Story goes like this, Dale. I think you'll get a kick out of this. Mine started when I was a kid. I had a mad scientist brother. Seriously, he was funny. It wasn't funny at the time. And I lived in this old house that had brass doorknobs. And my brother would wire up the doorknobs, and then he had this little generator. So he would have the wires hooked to this generator, and he'd call me in, and I'd open up the door. Of course, as soon as I touched that door, I would get an electrical shock. And so I think my training started really early in life. And that, you know, silly me, every time the door was shut, you know, you'd think I would have learned that not to open the door with my hands. But, you know, I didn't learn about that. But anyway, to go on and talk about the vibration that you were feeling this morning, just before you woke up, those kind of incidences are really extraordinary. I myself have experienced those vibrations. Sometimes when I'm just standing in the middle of my room, and all of a sudden it just feels like the inside of me is just vibrating and just shaking and vibrating, and you know, I have to touch something to make sure that it. You know, that everything isn't vibrating, that it is actually coming from within, because it does feel very different than, say, if you were, you know, in a tremor situation where the ground is moving underneath you. You can feel that. It feels very different when it's generated from the internal self. And so I've done some my own kind of research on this to figure out why these events would happen. And what I've come to the conclusion is that as we're going along and we're processing internally things, and we're trying to raise our vibrations, we're trying to educate ourselves, we're trying to become better peoples, we're trying to become more than what we think we are. We're on these spiritual paths of enlightenment, or however you want to look at this, ascension process, spiritual knowledge. When we're doing this kind of work, when we're thinking about this kind of work, we also at the same time, we look at ourselves going, well, this doesn't work for me anymore, and I don't want to do this action. I don't want to say these things. I don't want to act this way. And so as we're purging, and we don't always recognize it as purging, when we're just making that kind of cognizant decision that, geez, I don't want to yell and scream at anyone anymore. Instead, I want to talk softly with people. We're purging that portion because we've made this declaration, and that in turn changes and raises and it changes our frequency. And I think these frequency things is when we do a lot of work internally, whether we're conscious or unconscious of it, that it can physically manifest into some kind of a way that we recognize, well, gee, maybe I'm doing the work. It's actually working because I can feel these changes within me. So I think that could be a portion of what's going on with people when they're feeling these different types of vibrations. I would also be careful to note here, too, is that it can also have to do with Earth changes if you're very, very tied to Mother Earth.
And oh, I am.
Yeah, and you can feel these, you know, changes within her. Those sometimes will resonate within you and create also that vibratory change or resonance, because you're trying to change or match a frequency or a vibration through that. So again, it really is all about growth, in no matter how you look at it, in my opinion.
When those earthquakes hit Peru and Christchurch and Haiti, I was sick about three days yes. beforehand.
Yes.
And I had flu-like symptoms, mm-hmm. and there was nothing wrong with me. The temperature, I mean, I've always had an elevated temperature, but that's just normal for me. And, oh my God, as soon as the day of the quakes, it may have even been right down to the very minute, there was this overwhelming surge of release.
Yep.
And everything went away. It's just like, whoa, what's that? And I got with, I telephoned my my spiritual counselor, my coach, and she says, Dale, you're waking up to, and you're getting the connection. And I'm like, but I'm not doing anything that I'm not doing anything out of the norm that I usually do. I'm not going out to the woods. She goes, it doesn't have to. You right. are getting your education through your education through through the laptop, through what I'm sharing with you, through the videos, through the messages that people are saying, like right now, the vibrations of the words that we speak are nourishment to the soul. It's just, that's how we get it. And yeah, it's amazing. I consider this the ride of a lifetime. And I feel now that life is not a curse, that it is indeed a privilege, and we elected to be here at this time for this, what we're getting ready to go through.
Agreed. And the more we raise our vibrations, the more we really figure out what it is that we're attuned to. Again, some people are very, very tuned to Mother Earth, and some people are very, very tuned to the cosmos. Some people have got kind of a connection to all things. Maybe one isn't more strong than another. And that doesn't make one person better or not better. It just means that you are trying to pace in a frequency that resonates with you, that brings out the best in you. You know, like JP and I were talking about, you know, some relationships are really, really good, and they're very harmonious for the two individuals. They grow individually as well as together, and they're those that are disharmonious. It's no different when we're talking about relationships, whether they're with people or whether it's with the earth or whether it's with the cosmos, a thing or an unseen thing. It simply is that connection of being able to really get into and figure out what makes me tick.
Well, since we're going this route, I'm going to open up a little bit more here. I've shared this on other sites, and this is not coming off to be any kind of a braggart. It's just, I'm going to share with you what memories are returning to me to describe how what you just spoke about is in effect. Are you familiar with the Starseed community?
Are you speaking to me directly, Dale?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I am a Starseed. I do not have cognitive memory of one specific race. It has been shown to me that I am very old. And this will come kind of a shock. It did to me when it was revealed. But I'm covered head to toe with freckles. Okay, I always have. And one of the messages that came through about a year ago is that the marks on our bodies the tattoos, the marks, the freckles on our bodies are as a lineage of the places and planets and constellations that we have occupied or been. And that's a lot. So, but with the connections with the planet, I have a connection with the planet, with the water, and with the sun. So, technically, I guess you could say I am connected to the universal stream of things, and I'm waking up to that. I have healing abilities like JP, not on the level that he is yet, but where I may be weak in some, I may be stronger in another, and that's okay, because if I start asking for all this stuff at once, I might just get it, and I may not be prepared, or my body may not be prepared yet for it. But there, I am not alone. There are many others like us. JP, I feel you're one of us that came here to this planet for this time period to do nothing more than to do what we are doing now, and that is to share our vibration with Mother Gaia and with us, the product of Mother Gaia, which is the human being. Where Occupy Wall Street is just the residual of the vibrations that are now bleeding over into the other consciousness of our brothers and sisters that are now waking up and realizing that there's more to this world than what has been handed to us. And it is up to us to create the world that we want to invent and live in. And I'm starting to see the videos coming forth that are starting to switch over from, hey, our rights are being violated, to, hey, this is the kind of world I want to live in. It's starting to happen. And it's happening at Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, and other sites around the world, where the frequencies are being elevated and are being matched, and they are melding. You used a word a while ago, melding together as a consciousness that is, my opinion, is going to match the frequency of Mother Earth when she goes through her transition. There are a multitude of other galactic beings that are here vibrating in a higher, slightly higher vibration, so they can remain unseen until a point in our very near future where they will lower their where the vibrations will meet. Our vibration is elevating, and their vibrations will lower just ever so slightly, and then all we will have to do is just look up and we will see them in our orbit. And they will be even in our atmosphere, which we're beginning to see now. They're showing us more and more. They're not here for an invasion. They are our brothers and sisters. And I can safely say at this point that the quarantine for this dimension has been lifted. That's why we're going through the things we're going through. That's why I felt what I felt yesterday. And yes, the energies that we are being bombarded with is from the galactic center plane. So we're getting hit with it all.
Right. So we're going to have a celebratory Wolf Spirit Radio. Ooh.
Yes. And listen, this vibration is going to go either one or two ways. One, it's going to be horrifying or damaging to a person if they don't understand, or it's going to be a very loving and a very beautiful experience. It's up to you to choose. So some may say, oh my God, it's driving me crazy. Well, they just don't understand it. So that's why we're here, to teach them, look, this is what's happening and why, and here's how you can combat it. Here's how you can meld with that.
And a woo to that.
Yeah, it doesn't. So celebration, yeah, my friend. We're going to have a... Think of the... When we, I'm looking forward to the reunification of our galactic star families. It's going to be a reunion, because when this happens, all of our memories will be restored, and all of our powers as unlimited beings are going to be restored to us. So there's going to be a lot of crying of happiness.
That's going to be nice, to get some nice tears for a change. Yeah. So, we're coming up with 6 minutes to go, and between my show now and Sam Muggsy's show with a special guest tonight, George Kavassilis, we're having a great day here at Wolf Spirit Radio. We're having a George Kavassilis with Sam Muggsy in just over an hour's time, and between those times, I'm going to play some Bob Marley and I'm going to play some Jimi Hendrix. So I'm going to play Jimi Hendrix first, and then Bob Marley after that. So stay tuned for some really cool vibes at 4:32. Rebecca,
yes,
would you like to just reiterate your show schedule and your website so people can get in touch with you, and also to get. Readings and teachings.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. My next scheduled show is November 20th, and I will be having on a gentleman by the name of Scott Bloom. You can find all that information on him from my website, and I have actually two of them. It's journeyswithrebecca.com. Also, while you're there, you can sign up for the free and confidential newsletter. This huge write-up in my newsletter, so if anybody would like a copy of the most recent one to learn a little bit more about the guests, please just email me, Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. And I do have several new classes starting in November. You can go to Rebecca Jernigan, JERNIGAN.com, and look under classes and events. You'll see them all listed there. If you have any questions, don't hesitate again to email me, but that's how people can get a hold of me, and they can certainly find me on Wolf Spirit Radio November 20th, and then the classes start November 13th. So it's been really a joy and a pleasure, too, to be on air with you again, JP, and to talk about this very, very important idea of frequencies. It's extremely important that people have an understanding. They don't necessarily need to be schooled or educated in all aspects of it, but they do need to have an understanding of it. And the more they understand, the higher their vibrations go and the greater the change.
That's right. And people can in some way innately feel that. But if you want to find some more music that is at 432, just go to YouTube and type in 432 and you'll see all sorts of things. For instance, you can get the whole of Dark Side of the Moon repitched. That's certainly an album that I wore out when I was a kid. Twice, actually. I wore out two vinyl versions. I was so pleased to get the CD, then I could not wreck it. But that's one source of it. Typing in 432 into Google, you'll see all sorts of interesting research papers, and find out yourself the history of it, and see what we come up with. Dale, do you have a website that people can connect with you? Do you have a radio show on somewhere?
Yes, I have a BTR show. You could find me on Sasquatch Spirits. That's Thomas Hughes' site. He's been so generous to let me utilize his site. I book a show every Saturday night, usually between the 9 and 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time Zone. And you can find me on YouTube. Just type in Spirit Guides Unite in the search engine there, and my name should pop up on the channel.
So Spirit Guides Unite at YouTube. And on Blog Talk Radio, which is what BTR stands for, blogtalkradio.com/Sasquatch, Sasquatch-Spirit?
Just two words.
Sasquatch Spirits. How do you spell it?
A-T-C-H.
A-T-C-H.
S-A-S-Q-U-A-T-C-H, yep.
Yeah. Sasquatch Spirit is the name of the Blog Talk Radio channel. And so, we are in the last minute. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. Rebecca Jernigan and Dale Benadum. And
yes.
I'm just going to play my little meow. I love that little tune. Anyway.
Speaking with you, Rebecca.
It's
nice speaking with you too, Dale. Very nice to have met you. Hope we'll see each other again or meet each other
well,
again.
Well, I'm sure we will.
And so, gentle souls, you're very welcome. So, gentle souls, we will be we'll be leaving you for a week, and we'll see you next week at the same time, depending on your time zone. It's the same time in Britain, and it's it'll be back to the 3 o'clock time of Pacific Standard Time, because our British time zone's changed, but I keep it at 11 o'clock in Britain. So, from Britain, from Scotland, from America, here we go. Good night.